I'm gonna send him like a pound of confetti, I think. That might be my weekend project.
That is, well, it will cost you however much it costs to ship a pound or something.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is in individual envelopes.
Okay.
And just do like confetti and glitter, and they'll just open it up and get it everywhere.
That is practically evil.
Yeah, it's going to be on their camo for like months. Hello, and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that really needs to work on rebuilding its audience. The RSS feed is funky, and we're all a bunch of terrible SJWs. What are you doing listening to us?
Boo, you people. Boo.
Boo.
Yes, let's build that audience by booing them.
You know what? It's important to give people invitations to the world at the start, as opposed to have them realizing halfway through and giving us one-star iTunes reviews. Give us your one-star iTunes review. We like those here.
Yeah.
We feed on them. We like your tears.
Your hate will only make us stronger.
It literally does. I do this show 90% to spite other people.
Nerd hate is pretty much like steroids for us.
Yeah, it really is.
If I'd been on the Star Wars episode, actually, no, I liked that movie. I probably would have ruined it for everyone.
No, we haven't gotten to the movie yet. That's next. Seriously? Week. That's next one. So, oh,
Jesus, I don't even remember what happened. I mean, there was a black guy, right?
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
But,
and Luke is a girl now, I think. I don't know.
I don't get it. But my name is Scott.
Hi, Scott. I'm Justin.
And this is the show.
This is the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one you've been waiting for. Lock the dog in the yard. Actually, don't. It's really cold right now. Put the dog in a room with a comfortable couch. Take the phone off the hook or put it on mute if you don't have a landline. Unplug the TV and settle in, because we're going to spend at least 20 to 25 minutes talking about a comic book.
There we go. But before we get into our comic book for the night, we have pick of the week with a thing to pick for the week. And
Scott, what is your pick for this week?
All right. My pick for this week is going to, I just grabbed Warren Ellis's entire run of Moon Knight.
Cool.
Unfortunately, it is this thing where it's like, those were six really good issues of Moon Knight. Why aren't there like 19 more of these? Why is this not a book I can buy for years?
I'm assuming he got into a fist fight with his editor.
Very probable. Almost certainly. Yeah. Yes. It's Warren Ellis. Anything could have happened.
Could have. And probably did. Did you know he once told me a very amusing story about Lemmy?
Oh, Lemmy.
Lemmy, yes.
It's been a rough week. It's been a rough little while. We lost Lemmy and Bowie.
Yes. A lot of people were very upset about Bowie, and I was very sad to see that.
Yeah.
I never got deep into his stuff, but, you know, he's very, very popular.
You know what? He got to be impossibly cool by waking up in the morning and deciding exactly who we wanted to be that day.
What a great thing to do.
That everyone should get to do that. Everyone should try that.
Yeah, well, here's the sad truth. We had all these delightful musicians in the 60s and 70s and 80s who are rapidly approaching the end of their days. You know, how old is Bruce Springsteen? He's one of the younger ones.
Yeah.
And he is, his tickets are on sale. Great. He's 66. So, yes, you know, he's in very good shape, but he could any day now. You know, the Beatles. Oh my God,
we're down a few of those guys already.
Yeah, we're 50-50 on Beatles right now, and Macca is, you know, 63.
Clapton, man. Clapton could go.
Well, Clapton could go. Sorry, Macca is 73. Clapton should go. You know, he should go and not let the door hit him in the ass on the way out. He's actually 70, so yes.
That could happen at any point.
It should. Yes, I'm being mean because he's racist.
Or was racist in the past. Probably still a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he learned.
Literally in the past decade, he has reiterated his support for Enoch Powell. Which?
Okay. So still probably racist then.
If, you know, white blues men need to tread carefully. And I think the first step is not to advocate support for Enoch Powell. You know, everyone else was just dressing up as Nazis.
Yeah.
He took it to the next LARP level.
All right.
So, boo on you, Eric Clapton. Your guitar is good, but your heart is black as night.
All right, but you need a pick for the week, Justin.
Oh, Jesus, picks. Ah, yes. I can't remember where the hell I heard about this, but I discovered a new narrative podcast called Limetown.
Limetown is supposed to be good.
It is delightful. So far, it's delightful. It very much, you know, people, I Googled it, and, you know, and like the first seven comments were all like Serial meets the X-Files. And I'm like, well, thank you. I don't feel fucking original at all now, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, it's almost like The Thing meets Thing is a tired, worn out comparison that we should stop doing for a little while.
Okay, here's my thing. It's Garrison Keillor meets Conspiracy X.
They're better? Different? More?
You see, you can't even say This American Life, because then that's practically Serial with, you know, from the next room over.
Yeah.
But it's very enjoyable. It tells the story of a journalist trying to find out what happened to a mysterious town which was actually a research facility where 300 people vanished overnight. And it's very good, very enjoyable, and creepy as fuck. I started listening to episode 2, and my wife, who has just started taking a course, was not home. So I was in the kitchen listening to this alone on my Millennium Falcon speaker, and I had to stop it because I began to get nervous.
It's like, I need a friend in the house.
Yes.
Or perhaps to lock the doors and fetch my cricket bat that I keep in case of doom.
I need someone to watch my back.
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
but it's good. It's brisk. I'm like halfway through already, and I'm not looking forward to it ending because I'm liking it, but I also appreciate that things are not going to go longer than they need to, which is just my preference, because I'd rather things go. You know, I'd rather something be good and stop than be okay and continue going until it wears the love out.
All right. So you can find that in the show notes. And yes. I don't know. They might not feed on your 1-star iTunes review, so be honest when you review it, I guess.
Love them, and they will love you back.
All right. But our main topic for tonight is Empowered, which
Empowered!
Which is an Adam Warren comic book.
Yes.
About, oh god, what's the tagline? A sexy superhero comedy, except when it isn't.
Pretty much.
That's how he bills it.
Yeah.
I like that billing.
That's very accurate.
So the legend tells that when Adam Warren was younger and more in need of rent money, he took some commissions from a guy with a particular interest in having blonde superheroines in shredded costumes tied up.
How many of them were like Power Girl, do you think?
I'm assuming there was a definite Power Girliness to that particular string of commissions.
amusing thought, if you go to twitter.com/empowered, you in fact find the page of Anne Quesada, a former slave of fear and depression, now a beloved daughter of God. So
Empowered Comic, however, is where you find Adam.
Yeah. Empowered Comic is ball gags and bondage.
Yes. So, and as he was drawing these characters, he kind of developed a weird sort of curiosity. He started building a world and an actual character for her, as opposed to this guy's weird kinky sex thing. And yes, that spun out into this long-running comic that he publishes through Dark Horse and now available on his website.
Very long-running. I mean,
yeah,
it started at, what, like 2003? Or no, 7, I think.
Yeah, 7. It's been a while.
Yes. Almost a full decade. 9 years.
And it's still like maybe only halfway through what I've been sitting.
I do not know how long the arc he is doing. But
yeah, I don't know how long this arc he is plotting, but it is. But if it goes another 10 volumes, I'll be like, yeah, all right.
What I just discovered today is that due to my not having a friendly local comic shop anymore, or a friendly not-so-local comic shop even, there was a new single book that came out last year that I missed.
Yeah, you missed one.
Pew, 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 I believe was the title. We can start. Just Mr. Warren is a delightful fellow. He is a frequent attendee at many of the local comic shows. He's buds with Jim Zub. I don't know if he stays with him, or but they often have their tables
adjacent
next to one another. Yes. One time, I found myself short one of the books, so I eBayed, I think, The Wench with a Million Sighs. And, you know, I got it for a reasonable price, and they shipped it to me, and it was in good condition. And, like, 3 weeks later, I saw him at a show, and on his table were all of the individual comics, including Wench with a Million Sighs, which I could have gotten for a few dollars less. But, hey, always glad to support the secondary market.
When it's not abusing you.
Well, by definition, it will abuse you.
Yeah. So, the actual comic itself follows a young woman who has a alien space suit that gives her superpowers.
She has a super suit.
She has her super suit.
Powered way is your super suit.
It's slowly being torn to pieces because it's
that's
not
the great part.
It's not very strong, the fabric. And as it tears, her powers decrease, at which point villains take her captive.
Yes. I'm trying to imagine Empowered as a Champions character, and I'm suddenly realizing I am standing right in front of the greatest source of knowledge in human history, and what are the odds someone has already statted her up?
Oh, you'll find 6 different versions.
Actually, if you Google Empowered Champions, you find many organizations that are helping women across the world. I'm great.
Oh, excellent. It's
Power Champions character sheet. How about that?
Yeah.
Have to be specific. But I'm seeing right off the top of my head, OAF for everything. Are you familiar with Champions, Scott?
I am familiar with walking past it and being mildly afraid of even opening that phone book of a manual.
It's good.
I realize it's big because it's covering as much as possible, and not because it's a Byzantine interconnected system.
Yes.
It's just, they're being encyclopedic and not necessarily a big, huge mess of all the rules do all the things.
I was an incredibly shitty D&D game in high school, and I discovered Champions, and I'm like, oh, this is a good system that is not going to let my GM's girlfriend manipulate him for stuff. Well, I mean, sure, it could. Everything is. But it felt like it wouldn't. So that's why I loved it. Yes, but, you know, I can see basically a vulnerability to tangle attacks. So she's always getting tied up by stuff. And all of her powers have a focus and a fragile focus. So if it gets damaged, she loses her powers. Because that's how it goes. But, you know, give it some sort of slow regeneration.
Yeah. Okay, so the story follows this woman as she sort of deals with being a laughingstock of the superhero community and the psychological issues of dealing with going out there and getting beat up all the time for justice.
Really wants to be a she really wants to be a superhero.
It's all she wants. And you know what? Something I appreciate about it, and it's something that builds across the series, is that she's always using her brain. Like, I think the most glorious moment is at the start of one of the volumes where she's explaining that, yes, I can pick up and throw an SUV, but only at like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
At best.
Whereas I can drive it.
But I can just put the, I can put the hammer down and hit this guy at 120, and the suit will, save me. Yeah. Physics. It's your friend.
And one of the great things is the first book really sets up her world, as it were.
Yeah, it's a good world-building volume.
She gets a demonic conqueror who gets absorbed by a intergalactic bondage belt.
Yes.
And he ends up her roommate. She starts dating a henchman.
A recovering henchman who...
Yes.
Has a dark past and might have superpowers related to being impossibly good with guns.
I don't know if that's a superpower. He's just someone who practices, hits the range a lot.
I know, but that, like, the fact that you have multiple instances of superpowered individuals sort of going out of their way to comment on how good a shot he is, it could mean something.
It could.
It could not. He could just have gotten some crazy... I don't know, government roids that make him awesome.
Did they ever specify, is he like ex-military too?
I mean,
he was involved in a group that took out supers in a city, right?
Yeah. What?
Zan.
His backstory is that he is functionally one of the boys, but before the boys was a thing.
Yeah.
Like some unnamed government agency put together a crew of guys that takes out, actually kills... supervillains and heroes that don't play by their rules, as it were.
Yeah.
And it went bad for them. And then they just started stealing things from supervillains while posing as minions as a really easy short con. Like, you sign up to hench and then you pawn the villain mobile and say that, the justice guys blew it up.
And there's a really good universe built around this, too.
Yeah, there's actually sort of a compelling thing where it's doing that 90s image thing where it's like, we're going to act like the paparazzi are following heroes around and actually do it well.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole community surrounding the superhero culture, and it's like, hey, they have their own TV shows and there's fan forums and it's a field of academics, and you have Dr. Big McLarge Huge, who is a master of superhero medicine, so he knows how to perform open heart surgery with construction equipment in case any giant people need it.
Yeah, that is, he is pretty darn awesome.
He's Big McLarge Huge.
Yes. And here we go. Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash.
Oh,
was a trio. Until Rum ended up in rehab and Sodomy got tired of constantly explaining to people that he represented strictly heterosexual sodomy, so he quit.
Yeah, like there's a lot of fun superheroes and interesting stories behind them that don't necessarily happen.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the great things. You don't tell the whole tale. You know, he leaves us waiting, which is particularly true since his since he basically, you know, has is he going Martin on us? He's still going fairly regular.
Like he's working on it, he's posting pages. I think there was a period where he thought he could earn more doing stuff for the big guys.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn, he did some work and it didn't turn into more work, so he's like, I'll go back to doing my thing, which people like. And I'm like, do your thing. You are making money doing your thing. You won.
So the first couple of years, he was doing two volumes a year.
Yeah, and now he's down to one every
18 months or
18 months or so, which is still not bad considering just like in like the sheer density of art in some of these, like when Empowered goes to hell.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
It could have been, you know, the hell of vast empty spaces. But no, nope. it is a hell of roiling souls all the time, always.
Yeah, big. It's like, you know, I strongly suspect occasionally George Perez looks at this and goes, "Guy, you gotta relax. Back it off. You don't have to
slow down." Yeah. As it goes on, the story does get more serious and deals with darker aspects of all the characters, except maybe the Made Man. The Made Man has no darkness.
Made Man's pretty awesome. Made Man is like Batman, only he dresses up like a French maid. And that is it, folks.
That's it. He sort of sits down and talks to people. It's like, yeah, I'm a transvestite a bit. I mean, there are a lot of guys in this business who dress like animals.
Yeah.
They're furries, and no one questions them. And, No, it does have a great supporting cast. I mean, Cage Demon Wolf is...
Yes.
It is a joy to read his dialogue out loud in like a John Houseman voice.
You do him in a John Houseman voice? I just kind of scream him out loud.
There has to be sort of like that overtly theatrical, like old British guy version of it where it's like, if I had a quote, I'd ramble it off, but
yeah, I found one, but I'm not going to, cause I always shout out the, "Do you still will not let the immortal demon goat watch your filthy animal coupling? Wretched prudes." Now I'm going to do it with a British accent. I'm going to have to work on my Alan Rickman.
Oh, he'd be a good Rickman, too. Yes. Like, that much alliteration coming out of Rickman would be grand.
Scott?
Mm-hmm?
I am going to alliterate a name, and you're going to say, "No, that is it. Mr. Brian Blessed."
I do believe it's pronounced Brian Blessed.
Yes. All right, we've just done our first fantasy casting, folks. The Demon Wolf will be played by Brian Blessed.
There we go.
Yes.
I think that's the only one we can really nail down. Oh, wait, yes. Well, no, Channing Tatum is the goddamn Made Man.
Yes.
There, we've got two.
There we go. Oh, Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum. Yes, now, there are, to date, 9 volumes of Empowered.
One of which you can read online now, so go online and read it, and you can agree with us or not.
You can. Now, Scott, have you ever recommended Empowered to anyone?
It's this thing... I have talked to people about it.
Yes.
And, I mean, I kind of have to say that, yes... There is a lot of titillation and
oodles
of titillation. And
it's literally about a superhero character whose iconic role is having her clothing taken away. But
and
I
her
don't
sex
know
life exactly is a significant element of the story.
Yeah. Oh, she and her life partner, both of them are very passionate people.
And they appreciate each other.
They appreciate each other. And yes, so yeah, it
like it is a lot of titillation, and I think it handles it in a way that is interesting. I'm not going to say it's like mature.
It's you know, it acknowledges that they are sexual human beings. Is there any way to say that that doesn't sound a little bit lame?
I know. It's hard to talk about it because you're like, no, it's actually good.
It's very good. They're all good characters. I mean, it's like Empowered is by her, you know, her nature is that she is very vulnerable, both emotionally and like, you know, in her superpower duties. And she has an unfortunate propensity to, you know, she has a very powerful super suit that is also about as strong as tissue paper. Like she has found herself having a battle turned by getting it caught on a piece of outjutting metal. So, you know, there are downsides to her setup.
Yeah. And I mean, her best friend hangs around in booty shorts and is
a ninja.
A second generation American ninja.
That the ninjette thing. Which book was it that was pretty much an entire
one entire volume of extended ninja fight, and I'm like, this is a very manga thing to do where you take a character's subplot and play it out all at once. It's something. It is. There is a structural flaw in it. I feel like that book kind of needed to do a two lines, no waiting thing.
Yeah.
Where there needed to be meanwhile back at the ranch through that whole thing and have not sort of lose the entire cast for ninja nonsense for 200 pages. And then lose the rest of the cast the next volume for 200 pages of war waiting through hell.
Yeah.
And then the most recent volume had to do like a 20-page backstory recap because it's been 3 years since we've been on track.
Waiting Through Hell was not a bad issue, though.
No, it's not it's not a bad volume. It's just we are going to take a break from everything. We are not going to mention anything that happened before. We're just it's Sister Spooky and Mindfuck and the Devil. Empowered hangs out.
Well, no, Empowered was definitely part of that story.
Oh no, like she comes along to help. It is between those three, and she is there to be the catalyst in that, you know, of change in that scenario.
And where was it? There was like, you know, that they had that bit where a spoilery thing happens. But basically a spoilery thing happens and I had a big tear rolling down my face.
Oh yeah. Like a character dies and it hits.
Yeah. Adam Warren has created an interesting ensemble. Like the super homies, various degrees of horrible. And
the various villains that come up.
Yeah, the villains who are, you know, just the villains seem more just they're equally skeevy as sinister.
Like that. Well, there are some that are way off the deep end, like Fleshmaster and Wily Pete. They're just like absolute evil. And then there's just
how guys, spoilery are we getting here?
We can get pretty spoilery, I think. I mean, like Wily Pete is a sick motherfucker.
Yes, he's a terrifying. Yeah. There ain't nothing good about that.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of guys that are just kind of skeevy and goofy and a little bit Silver Age. And you kind of get you get to see things from the villain side in an interesting way. Like occasionally you'll get this like with Superior Foes of Spider-Man. But that's a rare book. This is like, hey, here's a bunch of villains and they're goofy and this is how they go about their lives.
Usually it's all seen through the perspective of Empowered, too. Of
you know, she's just tied up in duct tape in the corner.
Yeah, but she can do more damage tied up in duct tape than most superheroes will do swinging free.
That was the best bit of Volume 9, where she is just like, boom, I am laying it all out. Everything I learned.
Yes. She pays attention. That's it. She's got a good memory, and she pays attention when she's
well. There's only so trust. There's only so much time you can spend panicking when you're tied up when you're covered in duct tape, and then you just have to listen to villains banter with each other
or gossip about one another.
Oh God, gossipy gusses, like any profession.
Yes,
you should hear what podcasters say about each other.
Oh man. Well, actually, you usually do because they do it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Actually, you know, I really should have just done a decent in-depth reread, but
I ended up kind of revisiting four, five, and six before nine, just because I'm like, oh man, there is a 20-page recap. Maybe I should go back to these.
But you get a lot of book.
It is a lot of book.
Like, each volume is a couple hundred pages. Let me see if they discuss the sizes. No, they don't. But yeah, they're trade paperbacks, and there are deluxe editions which collect three. So if you want to get into it, you can just buy Deluxe Edition Volume 1, which has Volumes 1 through 3, and Deluxe Edition Volume 2, which has Volumes 4 to 6. And I'm assuming Volume 3 will be out soon.
Well, now that 9... probably give it a year for Deluxe 3, I think. Yeah. Just because 9's a little too new.
Yeah, he doesn't want to bite into the sales on that.
Yeah, that's still got some legs.
Although I'm curious what his sales cycle is like. Is it a long tail?
Well, the fact that I keep seeing volume one, the earlier volumes in print means I'm guessing we're getting multiple runs of that. So I think the early ones may have hit evergreen status to some extent, and then I don't know what the tail is.
Yeah.
On new ones.
But it's just the way he structures it. It's like, you know, funny, sad, funny, interesting observations on superhero genre, you know, heart-wrenching family stories, you know, and let's talk about, I don't know, something else.
Yeah. And there's just tons of fun fun little background things, like Dr. Big McLarge Huge didn't have to be Big McLarge Huge.
No.
But
God, the nurses, the male nurses in that hospital, all the male and female nurses, their uniforms are pretty much sprayed on.
Yeah.
Applied out of a paint canister. It's comedic as all get out. But yes. Oh my God. I just found a big section where the Demon Wolf is talking, and I'm just hearing Brian Bless's voice.
There we go.
It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny, it's real, it hits all the good stuff. If you're a fan of superhero comics, it's an interesting take on the genre, and I think it's one you can appreciate. Like, it's someone who clearly knows the medium, taking a bit of fun out of it while still doing a good job of telling a superhero story.
And, you know, you have to wonder, how much of this is plotted out? How deep has his arc gone? Because he's, you know, he does callbacks at Go-Go.
I think from the point he introduces Manny, the Make-A-Wish kid, I think from there till now he had a full plan for.
Yeah.
And probably one volume further. And even passing by his table and talking about what's coming up and what he's working on. He seems to have a pretty good idea of where he's going. And the fact that production is only slowing down because he's putting more work into it.
Yeah.
Is kind of like showing that he knows what he's doing. I don't know if there's some interview out there where he's announced like, oh yeah, no, we should have all this sewn up by volume 18, and then I'll have another collection of the short one-off comics, and then I'm on to my next project. I don't know.
He is a nice furry guy. He's got the big hair and the beard on. I mean, he's not dressed up in a fursuit doing the parade. Although he may. You never know. I'm going to apologize for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story, you know, the story's great. The characters are great. It will occasionally give you a funny feeling in your tummy, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. But I look forward to every new issue with increasing amounts of patience.
I don't know if I'm really capable of having, like, high-grade expectation for a thing where I will throw a shit fit if George Martin announces another delay to a novel. I think I'm just like, okay, it's out, I'm happy I read it, and all right, that's good for now. I don't know if I have that level of hype anymore in me.
No.
I don't know if I'm capable of that. There's just so much other stuff I could be doing that...
We're old, we're tired.
We are old and tired.
No, I mean, if you've never read Empowered, good God, man, go out and get yourself a copy.
Well, you can read one volume for free right now.
You can read one volume for free right now, but you're going to want to read the rest.
Like, and if you're going to want to read more, and it's available. It's not like we're telling you to find some out of print thing. There's digital versions.
It's digital. That's actually how I first bought. Did we mention the single issues?
I don't think I have. You should talk about the single issues because I don't really buy those.
Yes, he does single issues as well, like short, you know, regular 32-page stories, usually focusing on one character or a quick fight scene. For example, you know, the first one was The Wench with a Million Size, which detailed the various size Empowered has and, you know, what she uses each of them for. And like everything, it's cute, you know. She sighs. They have a sigh where she... You know, she has a specific sigh that she has when she's, you know, got a mouth gag in. And she has a sigh when she thinks about her butt, her bum. And let's just say, her bum is one of the characters in this book.
Yeah.
And Warren has designed it as a very nice bum. Bum. And, you know, he's also then made her incredibly self-conscious about it. So that is great. He's designed someone who is not self-righteous or cruel. And you get to empathize with her.
And I
the wench with a million sighs is all about the various sighs she has whenever one thing or another is upsetting her. There's 10 questions for the made man, where you get like basically a big story about made man and that he still manages to talk about empowered. There's 9 beers with Ninjette, and I think that has a guest. I think they all have guest artists.
Yeah, these are all guest art. The first 6 are in their own bind up now, and I have not. And there's a 7th. Single that I don't know, I may pick that up digitally or see if he does a second bind up of those sorts of things.
The Wench with a Million Sighs was actually the only thing I bought from Dark Horse's comic store, online comic store,
because it's I have a digital version of it.
I wanted it and it didn't seem that difficult to me.
I don't know, I think at the time I was trying to navigate it, it was just it just hurt.
Yes. And internal medicine, which just sounds a little kinky. Animal style, not as dirty as you think, but actually people wearing animal suits, powered armor suits.
Yeah.
Not.
What, like the rhino in the Ultimate comics?
Yeah. But, yes. You know, I really need to go back and reread 7, just, or 6, the ninja one. Try and get back through that. Because I literally remember being disappointed, but my only reaction was, the next one will be out soon enough.
Yeah. Seb, there was I think the biggest gap was between 6 and 7, and that was still only 18 months. So.
Let's take a look. Yeah. So 4 came out October 2008, 5 came out June 2009, 6 came out September 2010. 7 came out May 2012, so that's about a year and a half. And 8 came out December 2013, so that's about a year and a half, too. And 9 came out August 2015, so that was slightly more than a year and a half. So he's... Although you can see the quality on the page, it is a little bit, you know, frustrating having to wait.
Yeah, it might be time for him to bring in an inker or something.
Yes, have his own Gerard.
He needs to build a team now, and I don't know if he's gonna. I don't know if he's gonna do that, or Dark Horse will pay for that.
I don't know how Dark Horse works with their staff. If they like,
if you can just call them up and be like, "Hey, can the next phase of my contract include an ink guy or a lettering guy?" I don't know if I. These are elements of the business we do not know. We're just guys who know enough to be dangerous.
Yes.
We know enough to be really misinform you. That's how bad we are.
Don't trust a single thing. If you have any questions for the creator of Empowered, contact him on Twitter because he's pretty active.
Yeah, just poke him. I'm sure there's things he can't say. I don't think he's going to say how much he makes.
Yes.
But I'm sure you could be like, so... But if you were like, hey, how long is the tail on your sales for each volume? He could give you an answer-ish.
I suspect there's like a... I suspect there's probably interviews where he discusses that.
Probably. But yeah, I'm just going to say, you can read one volume for free.
Yes, that's one of the great things.
Like, grab that taste... There are digital outlets to buy it. You can go swing by a comic shop and probably find most of these. And if it's a truly friendly local comic store, they'll say, oh, business, we'll get that in for you in a week.
Yes, they will. They will enthusiastically retail to you if they're not idiots.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he had several jokes about Fiend Folio creatures being turned into movies because The Revenant.
I'm like, well... Anyone that can quote the Fiend Folio, who can tell a Fiend Folio joke is okay in my book.
Yes. In his Fiend Folio-based adaptation, The Revenant, Iñárritu sensibly ditched the stippling ink effects so beloved by the book's UK artists. Adam Warren. You're a nerd.
You're a great guy. But yeah, I mean, that's what we got to say. It's a good book.
Yes, it is. It is a delightful book. He has created a universe. And in that universe, there are superheroes, and some of them are jerks, and some of them are awesome. Actually, most of them are jerks.
Yeah. I like how convincingly jerky they are.
Let's just roll the numbers here for a second. Of the superheroes in the Empowered Universe, who are not jerks?
Cinderblock is okay.
Maid Man's
great.
Mindfuck.
Mindfuck. And, oh god, what's Captain Rivet? Is that his name?
I can't remember if that's his name or not. He's not the worst.
He tries. But, I mean, he's trying. You can see that he's trying.
It's like he's babysitting a group of superpowered psychotics. But I mean, like, he's very much part of the big bro. He's very much part of the bro culture of the entire superhero world and the Super Homies in particular. Oh, here we go. I've stumbled upon a popular little sequence. Foolish Super Homies, you were no match for the felonious fury of the Chimera. Well, shoot, no one's conscious to hear my grandiose declaration of victory, and I spent hours polishing that speech, too. To wit, instead of the usual superhero stratagem of throwing a car at a villainy opponent, no matter how badass that move might look, it'll inflict far more damage by driving a car into him at 70 miles an hour. Eat Hummer, Dillweed. Dillweed, end. Yes. But, yes. All the enjoyment. Yeah, I mean, it's mostly... I think the big one is Maid Man, who is still... utterly brutal in his combat. It, you know, Maid Man is essentially Batman in a French maid's outfit. And if you can't understand how delightful that is, I'm afraid this may not be the book for you.
Like, if you're a comic
barometer,
yeah, that's basically it. I'm going to tell you that there is a man who is Batman, but he is Batman. Dressed in the sex store version of a French maid's outfit.
Yes,
and he is. Indisputably the most badass thing in the room.
Yes. Don't fuck with Maid Man.
Do not fuck with the goddamn Maid Man.
I'm the goddamn Maid Man. I would like to see that. They've never established any. Have they established that you can recall a lot of sidekicking in the Empowered Universe?
I think it seems to be a team structure. Like there's union rules and everything. It doesn't seem to be. There do not seem to be sidekicking except in the sense of, you know, a senior member and junior member on assignment scenarios.
Yeah, very corporate-y too. Less, you know, unions generally treat their lower members with a little bit of respect. Although someone does have to clean out the poop.
Yeah.
But no, the super homies are the only ones we've seen any sort of... we really haven't seen a lot of other teams.
Yeah, that is true.
Which is, I suppose, completely understandable because, you know, that's the team she's a member of. I'm trying to remember, did we see a lot of other people in like the Super Awards episode?
Just like there were background characters in OneNote, guys. So there's like Were Giraffe by Night is the one I remember.
Delightful.
I want to say, oh, King Tyrant Lizard. He's a good guy, right?
Yeah. Oh, Sock Monkey.
Oh, there's a Sock Monkey.
There is a Sock Monkey. I wonder if Tony Millionaire gets a dollar every time they have the Sock Monkey.
I don't know. But this is like I'm literally enthused about this book. I'm like I want to stop talking so I can reread the whole thing again.
Yeah. It is a delight. There is, you know, I'm uncomfortable recommending it to strangers.
Yeah, it's hard to bring up, like, when you see someone grab it at the store, you don't necessarily want to talk to them about it.
Because what if they don't enjoy it in the proper way?
Yeah. What if? Yeah. But yeah, this is a good book. Check it out. We will catch you next time.
Yes, we will definitely see you on the flip side. In the funny pages.
See you in the funny pages.
Yeah.
Gosh, I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike Non-Commercial 3.0 International License. Please visit sbopodcast.com for contact information, social media links, and past episodes.